Urban Media Today introduces your sports weekend lineup. The next 30 minutes will inspire you. High school and collegiate Hall of Famer Margo Hinton, touching on the importance of self-discipline, always challenging yourself, and the support of community. It's Give It Up with Margo Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio.
Welcome to the Give It Up podcast. I'm your host, Margo Hinton, teacher, writer, lover, liver, hooper, giver, never bitter. That's right. My guests are about to deliver. This is the Give It Up podcast, and we're about to give up information to you that hopefully, you find helpful in your own life. And that's it. First, I got to say what's up to my producer, Mr. Trevin Jones. Say hi, Trevin.
There you go, wasting time again. It's Give It Up with Margo Hinton. Come on with the fire. Let's do what you do. Make it happen.
I got to also say thank you to Alan Lincoln, who gave me this opportunity to have a podcast on Urban Media Today and to be part of that family. So this is an honor and a privilege. I have two very, very special guests today. Y'all, this is it. This is the big time guest I'm bringing in. I'm bringing in the big guns. So get ready. They're about to drop some knowledge. First, you know him as St. Lawrence Harris, but I know him as my little cousin Larry, and he's back. He was here before when we were dropping knowledge about legacy, and he's back today to be a part of the broadcast. Go ahead and say something, Larry.
Hello, everyone. Back again. Ready to give it up.
All right. I like that. And now this is special, y'all. Doctor, I'm going to say it one more time. Dr. Karen Hall, superstar from Mount Alvernia High School, played basketball at the highest level at UNLV. That's right, the Running Rebels. Played with me. We done been all over the place, beating them heads.
North Carolina.
West Virginia. Where else? D.C. We've been all over the place. And winning, y'all. That's right, we won games. So Karen's here to talk with us today. Karen, say hi.
Hello. I'm here to give it all up. Give it up.
So, Karen, just tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now in your life. What's going on?
Ooh, I'll have to share a little bit because it's a lot. So, actually, I'll just sum it up as that I'm doing a lot of consulting. I have a consulting business that delves in communication, athletics, and education, and really working to make it happen. But my passion of hoops, that's where I'm living.
I love it. Okay, y'all, this is the topic today. So, as you know, we jump it off with a poem or a quote, but first let me just tell you what it's about. There's a documentary out. Did you guys see the documentary? It's called Student Athlete, and it's on HBO. It's been produced by none other than, I won't say yours truly, but somebody I love, and I know Larry loves too. Karen's probably starting to love him because he's a Laker now.
Right.
Because Karen is the biggest Laker fan I've ever met in my life. That's all I got to say. But the documentary Student Athlete is produced by LeBron James and Jay-Z. And it basically follows the lives of five former Division I college athletes and talks about what happened to them, life after basketball, when you don't make it to the league. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard of it or know anything about it?
Good to hear.
When you mentioned it as far as one of the topics, I did a little research. I couldn't find the actual documentary. But one of his stories, if I'm not mistaken, was a gentleman who obviously is in the league and has to work four jobs to survive, sleeps in his car, et cetera, et cetera. That's one of the stories?
Yes, okay. That's one of the stories. And, that's sort of what you hear in this documentary. So if you haven't seen the documentary, I actually signed up for HBO for 3 days just to watch the documentary. I'm going to keep that under my hat. But so what I want to do first is I'm going to play some audio for you. And it's the first executive director of the NCAA. And his name is Walter Byers. And he was the executive director from 1951 to 1988. And just listen to this clip.
Disservice to the young people. Management of intercollegiate athletics stays in place, committed to an outmoded code of amateurism drawn, quite frankly, in 1956. They can count the house, and they can multiply the ticket prices, and they can read the TV contracts, and it doesn't take any great genius to understand that what was real in 1956 can hardly be remembered the gross commercial climate of intercollegiate athletics today. And I attribute that to the neo-plantation mentality that exists on the campuses of our country and in the conference offices and in the NCAA, that the rewards belong to the overseers and the supervisors.
So I just want to get in a moment, but not yet, because I want to tell my own story about my experience as a Division II college athlete and just how, you know, being a student athlete is and having a scholarship is not necessarily all it's cracked up to be. So I went to Indiana University of Pennsylvania way back in the 80s, and I got a scholarship. But what the scholarship did cover, obviously, is room and board and your meal plan and tuition and all that kind of stuff. But what it didn't cover is, you know, when the cafeteria closes at 6 o'clock and you're still hungry right around 9 p.m., and if you don't have any money, guess what? You don't eat. So there, and you know, just the I wouldn't say necessities, like the things that you want to do, and you might want to go to the movies, you want to attend a party, whatever it is that you're trying to do. It didn't cover everything. And so what I ended up doing, because our family was not necessarily of, you know, affluence, so I ended up taking out loans, despite having a scholarship that covered everything, just to have spending money. So that's my story. And like you said, some of the stories from the documentary are definitely a little bit more extreme. So with that being said, Karen, could you speak to what was your experience, you know, on the campus of UNLV?
Right. So as a scholarship student athlete like you, it covered the room and board. And we had choices to live on campus or off campus. I decided to live off campus. So all student athletes at UNLV, we received a monthly stipend. Mm. So the monthly stipend, whether you lived on or off, and the amount would be different. So I lived off campus, so I was in the range of the $500 to $700. But that was to pay for your rent, you know, the incidentals of living off campus. So after all my bills are paid, you know, there's 30 days in a month, sometimes there's 31 days in a month, and, you know, what you have left really doesn't, you know, last that long. So, you know, towards the end of the month, you get a bit short.
Right.
So now the phone call home and, you know, monies are tight.
That's right.
So, you know, you definitely needed more money whether you lived on or off campus with a monthly per diem that helped, but it did not cover those social moments when you wanted to go out like the other non-student athletes on campus.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely can, you know, relate to that. There was a lot of, you know, things that other students were doing where I'd be like, well, I don't know if I can do that today. And that's just how it was. Larry, I know you've been around college athletes and you work with kids now. What are some of the needs that kids have when they're coming from an inner city experience and going on these big college campuses? And like we're saying, you don't necessarily have what you need to feel good about yourself in that environment.
Right. I will say this. I'll give you a better perspective. As a parent.
Absolutely.
Student athlete. And I could piggyback off what Karen just said as that recipient of the phone call. Right. So it's hard because, you know, especially with football, basketball, whatever sport you're playing, is very strenuous on the body, mind, because you're focused on games, but also you have to maintain grade point averages and things to even continue on to play. So it's a mental and a physical strain. Just paid my son's tuition. Next phone call, Dad, I don't have this. Like you said, cafeteria may close. He doesn't like the food. He's a football player. Has to put on weight. So it's a very, very, very much of a struggle just to maintain. I can remember being in college myself, and it was the brokest ever was in my life, right? I had to work to help pay some of my tuition and also work full-time, and it was crazy, you know? So it's very hard, and as a parent, it's just crazy because you don't want your child not to have. So there's been times I'm like, look, I want to do this, but I have to give him this. You know what I mean? So it just takes away. So it's just the system itself, how much they're getting blood, sweat, and literally tears from these children, and there's no kickback. It's just crazy. One thing, and this is kind of off-subject, but on, I think it's John Calipari had said, he had a guy that played from last name of Wagner, guard, that played for Memphis. who he told him. He had a conversation with him. He said, well, coach, what do you want me to do? I want to be loyal to the team and you, and thank you for the opportunity. He said, listen, son, I'm going to tell you like this. You got two options. You could go to the NBA and make your family rich, or stay here and make me my family rich. Mm. And I could just appreciate it as this true honesty. And coincidentally, that brother got hurt the first year in the NBA, but luckily was fortunate enough to get enough money, his $8 million contract, because he did fulfill that amount of time necessary. So that's just a story of kind of debatable. Kind of debatable. How do you look at that, you know? So, and again, that's my, of course, as the parent, as the recipient of the call. So it's nuts. It really is. It puts everybody in a difficult situation financially.
So, producer Trevin, jump in on this. What was your experience on campus?
I knew you were coming my way. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't get a scholarship at Norfolk State, but I ran track. And just like you said, once you don't get to go to the cafeteria the same time everybody else does, because you're at track practice and that runs late, and by the time it's mealtime, you might have a meal ticket, but the cap's not open. So
there it is.
Oodles and noodles set out on my ledge on a regular basis.
You mean I was the only one gourmet oodles and noodles?
No, that. Oh, were you taking
noodles,
iron?
The juice.
Were you taking iron and toast the bread type of thing? That's how it was.
Did he say iron? Did he just say an iron, y'all?
What? And the powdered eggs, which we hated, we would try to save them. So that we could put ketchup on those and just go ahead. Now, that's real talk, because you had to eat. And if you didn't have money, you know, and my parents weren't poor, but they weren't rich. So,
right.
And again, I said being an athlete, it's just that you miss those periods of opportunity that everybody else gets. You don't get it. And the people think that, you know, you think you're better than them. It's no. You're actually struggling a little bit as an athlete, because you don't really get those things. But that's my side of the story. But what Larry just said was interesting, because it was DeJuan Wagner is who he was talking about, who played for Memphis. Now, DeJuan Wagner, and I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember, there was a young brother that came out of New Jersey by the name of Milt Wagner,
who went to
Louisville,
yes.
Who was a beast hooping, okay? DeJuan was Milt's son, okay? So, and Milt Wagner actually played in the league as well, in the NBA. So, DeJuan actually left the league because I think earlier in his career, he had some type of injury or whatnot that prevented him.
It was a leg injury.
Yeah, that prevented him from doing his thing. But at Memphis, like you said, it's interesting that the coach says to him, you can either go to the league, because DeJuan Wagner was a beast. He was shorter.
Yeah, he was considered like a next Iverson type.
There you go. Right. Yep. And it was same stature.
You know, I got love for him now.
Oh, what I, but DeJuan, if you see film, and I always say this on my show, you internets and millennials, if you don't know who we're talking about when we're talking about DeJuan Wagner, Google it.
Cell phone punch away.
Yeah, definitely. Right. But that's interesting that Larry brought that up, because That's real. Athletes who you think are superstars and doing their thing, Miss Karen, Dr. Karen, who's sitting right here.
Yes.
You know, playing at UNLV, I'm quite sure she can tell you more stories of her struggling more than other students. And she had a scholarship at a big-time school, at a time when the school was at this pinnacle with hoops, absolutely. Men and women.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, so that's interesting.
And miles away from home.
Yeah.
You can't just come home.
You got to be a good manager of your money.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunate for me, you know, I was able to, I mean, I had to say no at times, because I knew if I did, I'd have fun then, but
a
couple
later.
Days later, it would be, boy, I wish I didn't do that. So, yeah, you definitely got to be a manager of money. But even so, I mean, the money runs out and you have to make a phone call or be creative and find a way to make it happen till that next stipend. In my case.
But let me ask you guys this, and I know this is your show.
No, get in there.
But you hit on a really, really good topic. And from the clip that you played, that was interesting what was going on in that clip. But I always say coach. So I mean it with all due respect. Coach Karen, Margo, superstar player. Even Larry, if you're a player at somewhere like UNLV or Michigan, and your jersey is being sold by the NCAA, not only by the school, but by the NCAA.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, definitely took one of my
so the school money, right. is mm-hmm. making money and the NCAA is making money. Mm-hmm. You're sitting in your room, full-time scholarship, people hating on you, talking about you don't need to get anything, but they're making millions. You're sitting there eating toast.
So that goes into the crux of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Should so-called student athletes be paid to play beyond the scholarship or the small stipend that you get? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think I'll talk NCAA. I believe the NCAA, the conference office, and the administration at every university understands that that answer is yes. They know that's a yes. However, if they have to now pay every student athlete around the country, well, now their pocket gets hurt, in a sense, because a lot of their money comes from the TV, from the network. Every university or every conference has their own network now. So mm-hmm. that's more money that's been added to each institution. So from that standpoint, yes, the student athlete definitely needs to be paid, because without the student athlete, you don't have a product. Absolutely. You don't have a jersey. You don't have a name. You don't have anything. The coach's name is just John Calipari, and that's about it, because he has no players that he can run down the list. So from that standpoint, and you guys jump in, absolutely.
Well, one thing that they need to watch out for, and I was just looking on my phone before we got on air, is the G League. The G mm-hmm. League is starting to become a very strong competitive alternative. Mm-hmm. As I'm looking here, it's saying $125,000 mm-hmm. for that first year for any participant who would bypass the NCAA and go directly into this G League. It's a developmental league that also teaches life skills too. So that was one of my main concerns as far as these guys, 18 years old, jumping into the NBA. Bang, you go from zero to a whole lot instantly overnight. As an analogy, they always say the curse of lottery is not a curse. You cannot give someone who is in poverty millions of dollars who doesn't understand the climb and the climax that you get to that point, right? The mistakes, the failures, the successes, things of that sort. So I do like that they're not just throwing these guys into the league without any life skill and hopefully mentorship to be able to deal with that financial pressure coming from others. Do I buy this big giant gold chain? Things of that sort. There was also something on ESPN. It was a 30 for 30. It was called Broke. And what it discusses a multitude of different athletes who have been through, you know, different walks of life as far as sports who are now broke. Millions and millions of dollars who have nothing. So that was always one of my concerns. But back more on topic, I'm sorry. As far as the NCAA thing, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Any other company, any other mega machine like this, especially when you should have some type of residual coming back from that jersey sale, right? Things of that sort. How could you not have nothing? And back to what Dr. Hall was saying, I'm the reason why and what finances this university is the athletic department. Let's be real. You know, money's coming in. You might get monies from different alumni and things, but how much, say, of right now, who's the big Alabama, how much is their athletic department bringing in right now? With jersey sales, ticket sales. These places hold hundreds of thousands of people at any time, right? Ticket sales don't go down and things of that sort. So there's no way that you could tell me a person is the main reason why your program is lucrative in every aspect, right? As far as fan base and everything else, the person who has made that possible should not get a piece of the pie. It's utterly ridiculous.
So just piggybacking on something that you talked about, I don't know if you guys have heard this story. There was a kid out of Cincinnati, Ohio, who is one of ESPN's top 100 players. His name is Darius Bazley, and he was ranked 13th in the country out of the top 100. So at first, he accepted a scholarship offer to Syracuse University, Jim Boeheim. So then he said, no, I'm going to go straight to the G League. Now he's reversed that and coincidentally has the same agent, since we're talking about student athlete, the documentary, has the same agent as LeBron James. And what he's doing now, which is unprecedented, I believe it's the first time it's ever been done, his agent has gotten him a contract with New Balance, who hasn't made a basketball shoe in I don't right. know how long. But I believe the contract is for 5 years, and it's $100,000 the first year. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, he's going to have an internship this for the next 7 months. I think it's 7 months. It might be three. But he's going to have an internship as part of that contract where he's going to learn how shoes are made, how the business part of running a business happens, and all the behind the scenes of what goes on at New Balance. And then he's going to be eligible for the 2019 NBA draft. So this is a new route, And I guess there's incentives. I forgot to say that. Incentives if he goes the first year and gets a contract with the NBA, and then this, and then the second and the third and the fourth year, there's more money put into it based on the things that, you know, the parts of the incentive program that he reaches. But that's something new that's out there. So not just the G League now. People are getting creative on how they can bypass college sports and go straight basically to the NBA, circumvent the system. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I'm going to comment on the G League first. And, you know, that G League is supposed to be a little substitute for that one and done, because, you know, players are coming in college for a year and they're really just coming to play basketball. So the G League is sort of making it where they have those life skills, the mentorship, you know, those life skills that they would not receive in college, minus the education, but they can come to the G League, make money, and basically not commit any NCAA violation until the NCAA all wakes up and figures out, you know what, from the compliance standpoint, let's make this doable so the student athletes can come, and let's make sure they make more money than just a $500 stipend, because even in our 21st century, $500 is like $100 these days.
There you go.
But to the young man's credit, I mean, yeah, they have to be creative. You know, I even think back about 2 years ago with Northwestern University, their student athletes formed together and they came out wanting to unionize collegiate athletics. Well, I mean, I thought that was a great idea, very smart. But that would deter the NCAA in terms of being able to continue to make money off of the conglomerate, which is a student athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that. That'll be interesting to see how long that lasts for him, because as a student athlete and the agents are creative, the NCAA gets wind of all of this, and they almost want to roadblock student athletes such as him to come back to college so they don't lose money.
We'll see how that.
But what I didn't
takes
hear,
off.
I didn't hear in your whole explanation as to what this young man is doing. Kudos to him, first of all. Mm-hmm. First of all, he's learning business, he's learning life skills, and he's getting paid. Okay, I didn't hear incentives were, but also I didn't hear school in there anywhere.
Yeah. No,
so that's what frightens me. Okay, because now you have a young man who surely knows that he can excel in business, and of course he's with LeBron's agency. Okay, you're going to study and learn about business, but I didn't hear school in there. Okay.
Well,
And that's what bothers me there. Now, if he's a hoop star, okay, he's taking a big chance because he's probably going to sit out a year. I didn't hear you say he's going to go play in Europe.
So let me say this. So this is his plan for the next 7 months, I guess it is, to the draft, however many months it is to the draft. So his plan is to learn this business acumen.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting some money to sign this contract. And then he's going to be eligible for the draft this coming spring. So that's his plan. What his agent said is that what they're worried about is he's not going to be playing basketball.
Exactly.
There's no basketball there. He's going to have to play pickup games and find, you know, he's going to work out. He's going to do that thing. He's going to get into the weight room. But he's trying to figure out how is he going to play basketball, which is what he's trying to get to the league with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they're saying they're going to have to even be more creative to get him on the court.
Right. Well, any new project, there's going to be things you tweak, right? And even Microsoft didn't jump off and was worth these billions of dollars in the beginning of its come up, per se. Well, one thing I will say as far as this, I have a degree in business management. My son is going to school for that now. If someone told me, instead of I give you, they're going to give me.
There it is.
And then I get the degree and potentially get sign me up any day. So that's kind of, you know, debatable, right? Debatable. But I think it's an awesome opportunity because one thing about it, if you look at this brand that we call LeBron James, how he sets people up and how his guys that work with him, not for him, how they put people in position to win, literally win, right? To have business opportunities, create your own brand, things of that sort. I mean, just that information from a New Balance, what has to be one of those Fortune 500-ish companies, to get that experience right there is priceless, right? But we could go to university and things of that sort, which I did myself and got some stuff out of it, opened my own business. But now this brother's getting a so many $1,000 head start. What if, okay, that's cool. What if he goes to practice and breaks his leg, right? What if he, whatever the case may be, prevent him? At least he got something to fall back on, meaning the business experience, it's an internship, potentially could even get you inside the company and with some startup money. I think it's a win.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many possibilities to the scenario. You know, I think about, you know, he has a LeBron James agent, which is great. You know, LeBron is big into the education. He started his own I Promise School, which is awesome. But, you know, this young man, hopefully he has his own vision, which in terms of basketball, yes, that's great. But what happens if, like, you have to have more than just that basketball vision, because honestly, he's on his own. So he'll have to hire someone to help him stay at that basketball level to then be ready for a draft. Okay, so that's all the basketball part. But it's life with and after basketball. And not everyone, you know, wants a college degree, but there, you have to have some level of education, formal education from some place, a certificate or something. That's my belief. So when basketball stops bouncing or the ankle gives way and it doesn't heal the way you need to, that you have something to fall back on. Because if you don't have a huge marketable name, right, and you're used to being like the star and having people cater to you, there could be all different types of social and mental results that can occur from that, let alone you still need to get a job, right? So, you know, just a couple different points, but that scenario, as it is, a good way to start, very creative. You know, I hope he's looking more towards his future with and without basketball.
That's a perfect segue into, let's get back into the Division I collegiate mindset, where we're talking about these athletes, at least in the student athlete documentary, that left school and basically had nothing to show for it in terms of compensation. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out, and can we brainstorm a little bit for them, what could be done at the collegiate level? And this is just an idea I have, mm-hmm, that I sort of like will throw out there. Could we do something like start a mutual fund, start an annuity? You play for Duke, you play for, you know, one of these top schools, ACC schools. Could we start a $50,000 annuity? Where I'm just making this up. They get $25,000 when they graduate, and the other $25,000 goes towards a retirement plan. Could something like in $50,000, if it's basketball, you got 12 players on the team, and you're making millions upon millions of dollars. So I just feel like there has to be something done, because it disproportionately affects people that look like us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like a lot hasn't been done, maybe for that reason. I don't want to say it is for that reason, but sometimes we are overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see something get done like that. That's just an idea, right, I had.
Exactly.
I don't know if you guys have thought about that.
Unfortunately, that, like you said, in most things across the platform, it's usually that's the reason why, right? So we say, you know, kind of, but it usually is for people who look like us. But just real quick. You're exactly right. And I said the same thing to somebody. We had this discussion as far as, well, how would you pay all these people? You just reinvest into their product, right? I mean, you have any major corporation, you can 401k. That's nothing but taking a piece of your money, putting into a mutual fund, and you get that residual back at the end of your whatever time years you work for this company. So it could definitely be done. It's just when people aren't thinking on that level of helping people instead of just taking, they're not thinking how to help them to prosper, only themselves. So I think that's where the psychology of it isn't even there. You know, it's just give, 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 but there's no, you know, where's my take? So you're exactly right. It definitely can be done. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, that it's going to take many people at different levels to think way outside the box and not just think of the student athlete as the conglomerate and the product. Because until that changes, great idea. But there needs to be a total mindset. And as the NCAA used to say, we're all going to go pro in something other than sports anyway. But we need to, while we're going, and while we're in the midst of the process of being a student athlete, there needs to be more in the bucket, or let's say more in the basket, to grab from for our student athletes so that they can have a good experience throughout their career and not come out talking about, well, I was always broke, because that conversation needs to change. And that's why we're having this one.
Well, I want to thank you guys for being here, but I have a couple more things before we go.
Number one, I always like to leave with some action steps. Mm-hmm. So these are the action steps. So this is a recommendation for college athletes to prepare for life after sports. I got five things. Number one, discover your interests and abilities for activities beyond your sport. That's number one. Number two, don't let your identity be exclusively, like you're saying, Karen, attached to your sport. What other interests, what other horizons, passions, and skills do you have? Number three, learn stress management skills. Because if you watch this documentary, you're going to see a couple people that didn't have a good experience after their sports participation. Number four, boost your self-awareness, understand your strengths and your weaknesses and your communication style and all of those things. And lastly, encourage strong relationships so other people can support you. I have a segment called Give It Up Before You Go. So all you're going to do is give it up before you go. Favorite color, Karen?
Blue.
What you got, Larry?
Black.
Trevin?
Purple.
Favorite sport to watch on TV? Volleyball? Wait a minute. Is mine. I had to get that in there. What you got, Karen?
College football.
Football.
NCAA tournament basketball.
Trevin?
Ooh, NCAA basketball. Tournament basketball.
Okay, favorite coach? Mine is Dabo Sweeney from Clemson. I love that dude.
Current favorite coach?
Yes, current.
Current.
Ooh.
Who you got, Karen? It could be current, or it doesn't have to be current. Whoever
well,
you
mine
want.
Will always be the late Pat Summitt. Her lessons, she has a legacy of her lessons that will live forever.
That's beautiful.
I don't know. I might have to go to your alma mater. Tark.
Oh, give it
Tark.
Up. Give it up.
Tark. I met Tark. Trevin, who you got?
And it's too many to pick from.
Too many?
Dawn Staley.
Dawn Staley? I'm bringing the females in there. I was going to do take your pick. I'm just going to do one. I'm just going to do one take your pick. Coke or Pepsi?
Neither.
Neither
get rid
for
of the
me.
Sugar.
Water for me, please.
So we all said neither. Thank you so much. This was Give It Up Podcast. Thank you for being here. Karen, Saint, Trevin, as always. Have a great day.